Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Good evening, Wednesday. Good to have you. We'll start with our stewardship. Here's two interesting verses in our giving that we see. He who despises his neighbor sins. That the word despise means to think lightly of. But he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. I'm going to add that to another, and this is a really great promise. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he's given. That's a wild promise, isn't it? He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. You'll notice all through the Proverbs that the scriptures talk about giving to the poor and being good to the poor, and that's honoring the Lord. The Lord cares for the poor. And so back then, of course, they had no government, anything that would take care of the poor, and so the believers would. And I love that promise. Now, I don't know when the payback time comes, but if you've given to the poor, when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and he will pay back. Didn't say when, but I trust that he will. It'd be great in this life. Don't know if it's totally in this life, but he said he will pay back. But I think it's just honorable that we always are thinking about those who don't have as much and looking for ways that we can bless. You'd be surprised at how much that blesses people if you just give something to them, especially when they don't expect it at all. And over the years, Joy and I have felt led just to give to certain people. And some of them weren't church people. They're just people in need. But it really touches hearts. And the Bible says if you have mercy on the poor, that you're happy. I think a lot of that has to do with people who have mercy on the poor or people who can see beyond themselves and notice other people. And if you can kind of get out of your world and notice somebody else, you're going to be a happier person. Because if all you ever think about is you, then something's always happening to you. But if you can begin to think about other people, it'll make a huge difference. So just thought those were two good promises. He who gives to the poor, lends to the Lord. All right, we're going to pray and then start again on a little series we've been doing called Staying with the Lord. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for every individual that came, those who are watching online. Thank you. In all labor, there is profit. And so we believe, Father, tonight we'll receive from you. Ask for your presence. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is the great teacher. And thank you for the anointing that breaks the yokes and bondages. In Jesus' name, amen. In our text has been Acts, the 11th chapter, verse 23. This was Barnabas, as believers were just starting to come to the Lord from non-Jewish backgrounds. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. We've been talking about the importance of continuing with the Lord. It's one thing to start, it's another thing to stay with him. And I have great history in that. Twice. First time I came to the Lord, I fell away. The second time I came, I've stayed. And so some of this is things that have helped me, but some of this is just pure scripture and pure biblical principles that will help you as well. But something stood out to me as I was reading that text again. He said, with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. It's about relationship. He said, not that you would continue with church or Christianity, although that's a part of it. You continue with the Lord, not that you would continue with a new lifestyle or a new set of beliefs, that you would continue with the Lord. This is personal. It's with the Lord. So, you know, church had not really even been established. Church culture was not present then. This was new. People were just coming to Christ. And Barnabas was saying, you need to continue with him. He's the one that saved you. Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy when he said, for this reason, I also suffer these things. He was talking about some of the things he dealt with as a minister. He said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. Notice he said, Paul said, I don't just know what I believe, I know whom. And so one of the beautiful things about a relationship with the Lord is, as you grow in this, the Lord Jesus can become more and more real to you. And when he becomes more and more real to you, then you realize it's a commitment not just to a belief system, it's a commitment to a person. It's a commitment to the one that's saved. Now, let me see if I can use this illustration. Bear with me just for a second. When Joy and I first got married, we met in October. And then we got married the following April. And she had actually gone back to Florida, so she moved out in January, February, March, April, we got married. So we'd really known each other about 4 months. I don't advise that. But it worked for us. When we first got married, it wasn't long after that we went to Bible school. When I was at Bible school, Joy was helping put me through Bible school. I was there, and there were a lot of single ladies around. And I remember one in particular, we kind of caught eyes. But I immediately dropped. And I did that because in my thinking, I'm married. I'm not going to talk, I'm not going to flirt, I'm not going to do anything. I'm married. And I was conscious of the marriage. As our relationship grew, later on in life, I had a lady make a play for me. It was in the gym, wasn't here. It was in the gym. Wasn't that long ago, it was less than 10 years ago. But to me, the cutting that thing off, I wasn't thinking I'm married, I'm thinking I love Joy. Can you see the difference? The first one was because I had entered into a relationship. The second time it was no, because I love the person that I'm connected with. Does that make sense? And so what happens is as you grow in Christ, as you grow in your relationship with him, then what happens is it's not so much, okay, I'm a Christian, this is the way I'm supposed to be. It's I love the Lord Jesus and this is the way I'm going to be. Paul said, I know whom I believe. It's personal. And when it's personal, it makes it a little bit more powerful because you realize I'm loyal to him. So it's a relationship. Here's the second thing tonight. Use your words to strengthen your relationship with the Lord. There's more to words than just saying. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You want to speak life to the areas that you want to see thrive. It's not the only thing, but it's most definitely something. When I say speak life, speaking, but by God's grace, I can. What you don't want to do is speak death to your relationship with God. I just can't do this. I just can't live the Christian life. It's too hard. It's just too hard. I can't do this. I can't live this. I remember my daughter Christina dated a guy one time, and I honestly thought the young man had a real future. In ministry, I really thought he had to call him for to be a minister on his life. And I remember she came back from a date they had gone on, and he was lamenting the fact that he wasn't with some other people partying, and he just said, I don't know if I can live this life. And I remember telling my daughter, this isn't going to last, because he's already started speaking it didn't, and he already started speaking death to it. You don't want to speak death over your relationship with the Lord. You ought to speak that. You're going to speak anything, speak life. And just go, you know what? I'm going to live for the Lord. I will live for the Lord all the days of my life. I love the Lord. I will live for the Lord. What are you doing? You're speaking life. Not, this is too hard. I can't do it. I don't want to read my Bible. Do I have to go to church? So I have to. That's not helping you at all. Use your words to strengthen your relationship. How many know your words can... How many of you are married? Not ashamed to admit it. How many know your words can strengthen a marriage or it can hurt a marriage? Is that true? If you've been married longer than a week, you have figured that out. That your words can strengthen or hurt a marriage. How many of you know that your word, how many of you have children that you're willing to admit you have? Okay, that's good. How many of you know your words can hurt your kids or they can help your children? Some of us have been hurt by words, hurt by the things that people have said. So just think about that. If you got a situation where you're speaking, you need to speak life in your marriage. You need to speak life about your kids. For those of you who are not married and want to be married, do not continually say, there's nobody out there, there's nobody out there. Don't do that. Even though you think there's nobody out there, even though you may have walked in here tonight, scanned the crowd and goes, there's nobody here. You gotta have some faith that God has somebody for you. And so what you need to speak is, thank God I'm gonna meet the one that's right for me. And it's going to be a believer.
Amen.
Yeah, woo. Yeah. Yeah, woo that. Yeah. You want that. So you want to speak life to your marriage, your career, to situations you're facing, and your relationship with the Lord. I'm committed to the Lord. Here's another one. Speak life to your mental health. I was listening to a Christian who's a brain surgeon, and he was talking about how he observed an experiment where they had a lady and they were doing a brain scan. They could see the scan. It was in real time. And they said, Miss Johnson, would you think of the worst thing that ever happened to you? And she began to think, and her brain just lit up in some areas. And then they had her stop that, and they said, now think of the best thing that ever happened, in different areas of her brain lit up. Well, if it happens with thoughts, I promise you it'll happen with words. And instead of constantly saying, I am so depressed, I'm just so anxious, you may be feeling that, but your words aren't helping you with that. Just begin to say, the Lord's helping me. The Lord's helping. By His grace, I will come through this. Thank God He hasn't given me a spirit of fear. This is where you quote Scripture. This is where Scripture will help you. Because there's so much of the time you could just talk about how you feel. And at some point in time, you want to learn to live past how you feel. You wake up, I bet you, in a crowd this size, some of you woke up this morning and did not feel like going to work. Yeah. And how many of you woo people went? You woo, yeah, exactly right. Because you're like, no, need a job, need to keep a job. It's good if the kids eat on a regular basis. And so you went against how you feel. There's so much in life that can go against how we feel, but use your words to help you instead of using them to hurt you. And talking about how you feel all the time isn't helping you. Talking about what you believe will help you. Yeah. That was woo worthy. It did not get much response, but it really was. That will honestly help you. Because if you're constantly talking about how you feel, you'll find you don't ever feel like doing a whole lot. But if you talk about what you believe, how good God is, the Lord's helping us, Lord's good to us. These words will help you. They'll lift you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I'm going to jump into, because we've only got about 15 minutes left. You've listened so good. I want to talk about it. Guys, I'm going to jump to forgiveness. If you want to continue with the Lord, you really need to learn about forgiveness. First is receiving forgiveness from the Lord. Recognize and acknowledge that you were forgiven of your sins. If anyone could relate to this, it would be Paul. This is the crux of the gospel. Paul's mandate from the Lord was found in Acts 26:18. Jesus told him, he said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power or authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Your recognize the acknowledge that you were forgiven of your sins. Now listen, your past has no power over you unless you allow it. This is what I'm saying. You've got to buy into this. I was forgiven. Now, a lot of people are saying, Alan, you don't know my past. You don't know what I've done. Listen, I don't have to know your past to know that what Jesus did in you is greater than anything you've done. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. We quote in here, and you know this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a?
New creation.
Okay, so here, new creation. I'm going to ask you a question. We're going to go Apple Android here. How many Apple users are out there? Okay. How many Android users are out there? Why are y'all always so loud? I have no idea. Top of the line phone for Apple is an iPhone 17 Pro Max. Top of the phone Android, I believe, is the Galaxy, Samsung Galaxy 26 Ultra. Is that right? Or the Google Pixel 10. Now, if you're an Android, so we won't argue systems today, but if you're an Apple user, and I come to you say, hey, I'm gonna give you a choice of phones. If you're an Android user, I'm gonna give you a choice of phones. If you're an Apple user, I'm gonna give you a choice of iMac 17 Pro Max. If you're an Android user, I'm gonna give you a Galaxy Ultra. Now, no cost to you. Do you want one brand new or refurbished? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Now, if I'm going to give you a phone and you're going to take it as a gift, I could give you a refurbished one. You want a refurbished one?
No.
Okay. Here's my point. Stop thinking of yourself as a refurbished person. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're not refurbished. I tricked you into that one, didn't I? I did. But this is what I'm saying. This is why we don't need to talk about our past. We don't need to bring up our past. And I realize sometimes we have relatives and people in our life who won't let us forget our past. But as far as God's concerned, if anyone is in Christ, he is a not a refurbished one. You're a new one. Old things have passed away. So receive forgiveness from the Lord. Here's the second one. Receiving forgiveness as a believer. All of us have sinned and missed it since being a believer. All of us. And so a lot of times people think, okay, I missed it, so man, I sinned, I need to get born again. No, you don't need to get born again. You just simply need to receive forgiveness. And receiving forgiveness is not a feeling. 1 John 1:9. Hope you know this one. I think I memorized this one really early. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, I've used this illustration before in the past. I'm going to use Matt again. And many of you know this story, but I think it's one of the best ones I know. If we confess our sins, and so when we miss it as a believer, and by the way, you don't have to ask anybody, did I sin? You know if you did. You know if you did. And don't ask anybody because they'll tell you, yes, you did anyway. So just go with what you have in your heart. And you know when you missed it because you just go, Oh, I missed it. So a lot of times what happens is if you're not careful, you'll hang on to that and you'll want to go away from the Lord. And you feel bad. And I understand that. You feel bad. You feel like, oh, man, I missed it. I don't even want to talk to the Lord. Well, that's not when he's going to find out about it. Some of you just got a revelation right there. Oh, you're kidding. No, that's it. No, he already knows. Actually, when you go to him and confess that is when you get rid of it. It's not when he finds out about it. And so when we go and say, Lord, I am sorry. I'm sorry. I missed it. Then we're going to have to believe. This is where you have to receive forgiveness. And you can't receive it by feelings. This is where you have to receive it simply by faith. Feelings will follow. But if you'll just receive it and say, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. And here's what you don't want to keep doing. Don't keep asking over and over and over. Some of you grew up in homes where when you missed it, your parents wouldn't talk to you, or they would shun you, or they would give you the silent treatment. And oftentimes I've heard of people saying, yeah, I had to ask my mom over and over again, Mom, would you forgive me? Mom, would you forgive? No, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, what I said is you're not getting born again. Matt, when he was a, Matt's always been my outside guy. He always loved playing outside. He'd run, he'd play in the sewers and the ditches. He was outside, which is great because he goes to Africa and he goes to some really nasty places and he doesn't mind getting nasty. And so, I mean, just some of the places he goes just to, you notice he never invites me because I don't roll that way. But anyway, he would sometimes come back to the house. And I'll never forget, we were eating one day and we look up and he's at the plate glass window. We're getting ready to eat and he shows up. He's just covered with who knows what. And so, you know, we looked at him and went, that's not our child. He's not going to come in our house. That's not what we did. We looked at him and went, okay. I got up, got the hose out, said, strip down to your underwear, stripped him down to his underwear, and I hosed him off. Then gave him a towel, cleaned up, he could come in and sit down and eat with the rest of the family. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We don't get born again. We get hosed off.
Yeah.
So we can come into the throne room and go, hello, Father, here I am in the throne room. I can be here because I'm your child. I belong to Jesus and I'm forgiven and I'm cleansed. And I don't have to keep asking for forgiveness over and over and over again. Way too many times people get tripped up there when they have missed it and they feel bad and they feel condemned and then they stay away from church and then they stay away from other believers and then they stay away from God and then they go back to living the way they used to live, and it doesn't have to be that way. Receive forgiveness by faith. Say, well, I just don't feel like the Lord's forgiven me. No, this is where you have to go. Lord, thank you that you have forgiven me. I tell you, try this. Next time you do it, say, Lord, I want to thank you that you've forgiven me and I'm forgiven and cleansed as if it never happened. Thank you. It'll help you. Feelings will follow. So receive forgiveness from the Lord. Receive forgiveness as a believer. Oh, and by the way, please say, Alan, I've done this so many times. I got good news for you. How many times do you think the Lord will forgive us? Matthew 18, Jesus, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Would the Lord ask you to do something he wouldn't do himself? So you say, well, I know this has got to be the third hundred, about the 350th time. Well, you've still got some room. No, I think the idea is we... Now, if you're saying, oh, this is great. I can live however I want to, and then I can just go and ask the Lord to forgive me, and it's all going to be okay. You don't want to live like that. That's living so far outside the goodness and fellowship of God. You don't want to live that way. Because what happens is when we sin, it doesn't break our relationship with the Lord. It breaks our fellowship with the Lord. And so when we get cleaned up, we can go back into fellowship. I don't want to live dirty. I want to live clean. And so this is not a... I'm glad for the forgiveness, but I'm not trying to see how much I can get away with. Woo? Here's one more thing on forgiveness. Well, actually, two more things. Forgive others. Yeah. I don't know if y'all heard that. There was a groan that came from this area. It's like, oh, yeah. This is Bible. You ready? Ephesians 4 chapter. Look at this. Ephesians says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's a woo. That really is a woo. Have you ever looked at something someone else has done and going, I just can't believe, and then you realize I've done the same thing. I really have stopped giving people a hard time on the road. I'm serious. Because I was just like, I can't believe it. And like, I've done that. Someone cut me off the other day, and I went, yeah, I've done that. But the thing about it is we've been forgiven. We have been forgiven of a debt we could never repay. And so just a way to live happier in life is just forgive. We forgive people. Well, you know, I don't, now, real quick, forgiveness is given, trust is earned. I've heard people say, Alan, this person abused my child. Do I need to forgive them? Yes. Do I need to give them access to my child? Absolutely not. Forgiveness is given. Trust is earned. Does that help?
Yes.
Because I've heard people say, you got to forgive me. And you're, well, yeah, that's great, but I don't have to let you in my house again. So, and that one had a little too much heat on it. All right, so here's the last one. Last one, help stay with the Lord. Forgive yourself. Yeah, forgive yourself. There's a sorrow when we sin and miss it. 2 Corinthians 7 chapter. Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. There is a godly sorrow. I think if you've been a believer for any length of time and you've missed it, you just feel bad. You just feel like, oh, man, I can't believe I did that. Lord, I'm sorry. You can receive forgiveness, but if you're not careful, you'll keep beating yourself up. Yeah. At some point in time, you're going to have to forgive. Lord, if you're willing to forgive me, I need to forgive myself and get over it. There is a sorrow that produces death. It's not good. It'll move you away from God. And we sorrow, it's after a godly sort. I've heard people say, well, you know, I hadn't been to church unless someone just really has just blasted me and condemned me. No, I don't believe it works that way. The gospel's good news. The gospel always gives us hope. But there are times that you're going to hear things and you'll be preaching and I've been preaching and said things and went, ooh. And I know you've been hearing things sometimes and you go, ooh. Ever had something just hit you and you kind of go, ooh. The best thing to do is just say, Lord, forgive me. But then forgive yourself. Give yourself some room. You're not perfect. You're getting better. But you need to stay in the game. Don't get out. This is not the time to quit. This is the time to stay in the game. Yeah, I missed it. I'll close with this. I used to stand back when we started the church 30 years ago. I used to stand at the door and greet people as they would leave. Don't get nervous. I'm not doing that here. But I'll never forget a guy, he came by, he's a big burly guy. He came and I shook his hand and I said, man, how are you doing? And he burst into tears. He had an alcohol abuse problem and he had gotten free from it. And that past week, he burst into tears, he said, Pastor, and he's a big guy too. He's crying. He said, man, I had some beers this past week and got drunk and I did. Oh, he felt horrible. And I looked at him, I said, praise God. He looked up. I said, praise God that it bothers you. I said, 6 months ago, would it have bothered you at all? He said, no. I said, thank God it bothers you. You're a changed man and you can live free. And I know some people just carry around so much guilt. And you got to understand, the Lord will forgive you. Now, some people may not, and you can't do anything about that. But you can sure enough forgive yourself and receive His forgiveness and get on with living and get on and live this life. You got a Savior that loves you. You got a God that's given you His Spirit. You got angels working for you. You got a church that loves you. A whole Wednesday night full of woo people that love. Life's too good. God's too good. Life's too short. Let's forgive ourselves and go on. Bow your heads with me for a second. Father, for those that are carrying such guilt, I just ask you, Lord, that this message would speak to their hearts and they can forgive themselves and be free of the chains they put on themselves or allow the enemy to put on them. And I thank you, Father, that we can live free. There is no condemnation in Christ to those who walk in the Spirit, for those who are following you. Thank you that there's freedom there. We praise you for that. Lord, thank you for what you've done. So merciful. And your mercies are new every morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening or you're watching online and you said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm not sure about my relationship with the Lord, or I used to have one and I want to come back because I've been away from him and I just want to come back to him. I want that relationship again. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around but me. If that's you, you're saying, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up real high and just wave it at me and say, would you pray? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Got you. Thank you. Wonderful. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, obviously I can't see you online, but if you didn't lift your hand, but you really wanted to pray this prayer, this is a heart prayer. We're going to pray with you. It's a church family. You pray it with us out loud. We're going to help you. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.